Well, good morning, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Dawson Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. You know, we're getting some pretty crazy stuff coming across our desk now as far as actual American casualties in the Middle East. And, you know, Republicans...
Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
And Paul Craig Roberts says Republicans prefer war to the U.S. Constitution and to truth, and a death alliance is formed.
And a death alliance?
Like, you know, they're going to do this, we're all going to die kind of thing. The Republican-controlled House and Senate rejected a war powers vote that would have granted Congress the ability to decide whether Trump could continue serving Israel's conflict with Iran. Apparently, 70% of Republicans have fallen for the propaganda that Iran was a terrorist state using and developing nuclear weapons. The same Republicans fell for 9/11, Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction,
exactly.
Assad's new chemical weapons, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the Gulf of Tonkin, and the endless lies about Gaddafi. And now the same stupid Republicans are falling for Trump's unsupported claim that the war is very complete and far ahead of schedule. You know, if the war is nearly ahead of schedule, how come on March the 8th, the State Department ordered non-emergency U.S. government employees and families to leave Saudi Arabia due to safety risks? This was an upgrade in a previous order. You know,
we're getting a whole lot of propaganda on both sides from this conflict right now.
Has Trump now joined the whore media machine? Is Trump creating a non-existent reality for his remaining supporters? Democracy does not function when the only information citizens have come from a lie machine that serves the official narrative. Alexander Dugin, a great, by the way, Russian, you know, writer, apparently Russia's smartest person, says it's not the Iranian war capability that's collapsing, but America's credibility. The fact that Iran is not surrendering and not agreeing to a truce or a ceasefire is already changing the balance of power. Missile and drone strikes have been carried out against all U.S. bases surrounding Iran. According to neutral estimates, more than 1,000 American service members have already been killed. Iran says much higher numbers, while Trump says only a handful, which seems laughable given the scale of the Iranian strikes.
Trump's running around saying we've had 7 American casualties.
No,
and it came out
no
last
way.
Night. Hegseth said we have like 144 severely injured, like basically missing body parts.
Iran has chosen a very effective tactic, striking not only military weapons in Israel, which is gradually turning into something resembling Gaza, but above all, the hubs and the energy centers of the Arab oil states on which the global economy depends, along with water desalinization plants. Combined with the blocking of the Strait of Hormuz, it's already led to enormous losses in the global market. You know, BlackRock is now restricting the amount of capital withdrawals.
I saw that. Okay.
Yeah, it's significant that the Gulf countries whose plans to transform themselves into neutral and safe centers of the world economy have now come to an end. Blame not so much Iran as Israel and the United States. They have always disliked Israel, but in their eyes, Trump has become a direct traitor. If American military bases do not protect them and instead create danger, what are they needed for? That's the truth. Meanwhile, the plankton of global capitalism and the armies of escort girls are hastily leaving Dubai. And by the way, there are armies of escort girls in Dubai. It's unbelievable what they do over there. On the roof of an abandoned hotel, only somewhat unhinged influencer Andrew Tate dances alone, stubbornly insisting that all of this is merely a computer simulation and that we are living in a matrix. The next step will be the withdrawal of Arab bonds from the United States. Incidentally, BlackRock has halted the process of withdrawals from its funds, lowering the ceiling by more than half. It looks like the beginning of a collapse. Oil prices are soaring. If Dugin is right, at what level of intelligence does the U.S. government operate with an expected 3-day war ends not, but an expected victory in economic and military catastrophe? Are not the American people somehow derelict in their responsibility to be informed and to do their duty to make certain that U.S. government actually serves American interests, not the interests of Israel? It is a conservative Republican chant, you cannot be an American if you don't love Israel. It's such crap.
Literally.
That's what they say. A method creating a binding, a blind America subservient to Israel's agenda. I'm going to stop for a second, okay? And I'm going to say this again because somehow this concept is not getting through to people around the world right now. It was the Scofield's Reference Bible that happened in the 1910 with Samuel Untermeyer, who was the one who brought us the Federal Reserve Act, got us into World War I with Brandeis being appointed to the Supreme Court, and got us the income tax, who in 1933 declared war on Germany from international Jewry. The Jews declared international war on WABC. The same Samuel Untermeyer who worked with Theodore Herzl to create Zionism and to create the nation of Israel through the Balfour Declaration, which happened during World War I. all of this stuff are the machinations behind the scene to bring in the Antichrist. Now, whether you want to believe that or not, it doesn't make any difference. That's what they believe, that they've got to take over the Middle East through force in order to bring in their Satan is what they want. So this is all insanity. That's why these people are willing to die and do all the things they do. And they don't see you and me as human beings. They see us as Goyim, which was thousands of times listed in the Epstein files. So you can pretend like this isn't real if you want to as a Christian Zionist. And you can pretend like we've got to support Israel. But why do you want to support the formation of the Antichrist in the book of Revelation and the seals being opened and the majority of the population of the planet being killed? This is a nightmare.
Anyways.
No. It's crazy.
I got some hell stuff to cover today. I'm not going to keep going on this all morning. The fact of the matter is we're getting constant back and forth on what's real and what's false and what's AI and what's not AI and what's truth and what's lies all across everything right now on social media, all across the mainstream media, all across every single platform. I don't know what's actually happening over there. And so I can't continue to say this is what the number is, this is not what the number is. There's a lot of speculation with everything right now. And so that's pretty much where I'm going to leave it with that. Because I've got many people that are telling me one thing and other people are telling me other things. And there's all media that's all over the place with it right now.
Well, Dugan and Paul Craig Roberts are nailing it pretty hard right now. I think
they have, but they don't know either. They don't know either.
They're not there.
That's
either.
My point. That's what I'm getting at, is everybody speculating about this, because that area over there is enormous. Iran is huge. That entire area over there is a monstrosity of them as far as continent area. And so everybody's coming out with, well, this is happening. No, this is happening. We've got Trump saying we've only had six service members die, which I don't believe that at all.
I don't believe that at all.
And so what's happening is now everybody's coming up with these different theories, these different alternate realities, and in my opinion, different fantasies of what they want to have happening over there. Mm-hmm. That's what you're having happening. The United States has this alt reality they want to have happen. Iran has a fantasy they want to have happen. Israel, well, they live in their own little fantasy.
And we talk about it. I'm not going to bring it up again.
Well, no, that's what I'm getting at.
But Dugan did basically a paper on Zionism that I posted on the website. I'll post it again. And what it goes into detail is the satanic nature of what they're doing in Israel.
Correct.
All the way back to 1666, Sabbatai Zvi, and the Rothschilds and the Frankism that's over there. So, and it's the same thing that Candace Owens is talking about now too, Austin. And if we don't look at the underlying cause of this, then we're never going to understand this whole, these people are mentally ill.
Well, no,
they're nuts.
We can't do anything about what their behavior dictates.
No.
We can do what we can do over here, and there's one thing to do. Don't buy into the BS and go along with the satanic lies that they're preaching from a lot of the churches right now. Yes, I said that. When they're telling you, you have to support a country that's continually genociding other Christians, that's a problem to me. That's a real problem to me. There's a problem when they start saying, we have to start attacking every other country that Israel demands so, because, well, if we don't attack them, they're going to attack them. We got to attack anyways.
And I'm like you. I don't like talking about this crap at all. I'd rather talk about GHI. I'd rather talk about purple sticks. I'd rather tell you how to lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar. And I'd rather tell you how to increase your energy levels without the use of drugs. And I'm trying to tell you guys that, you know, the problem that we have here is that the entire planet is being controlled by a country in the Middle East called Israel.
Well,
period.
Because
it controls the central banks.
This was the biggest concern that I've brought up over the last 2 years with AI. Is what's going to start happening when we have conflicts, when we have global disagreements, when we have issues that occur, and the fact that we can't figure out what actually is happening because everybody's lying to you in different directions. That's a problem that happens, and that's exactly what we're seeing right now. And that's what we were all concerned about when this conflict started to escalate, is where is this going to go? Where are you actually going to get the truth from? Because quite frankly, the longer it goes on, the more you start looking at stuff, you go, golly, what actually is any of it true if any of it is being told to us? And so something that it's just, I don't know, it's gotten frustrating, I think, to everybody on here. And this is something that I'm going to cover. So it's everybody seeing, and I didn't want to cover this morning, but I'm going to cover it anyways. Since we're already down this line, I got some other health stuff I'm going to cover, but I want to cover this because it ties exactly into what Dad was just saying here. And it's troubling because you have this aspect. Now, multiple Israeli coalition members now have put forward a bill to make it illegal prison time to speak about Jesus Christ in public in Israel. You guys are going to love this. And I've vetted this, by the way, multiple sources. You guys will get a kick out of this. So just, I'm going to end on this, and we'll go from there after that.
Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter, sacred time for Christians. Two ultra-Orthodox members of Prime Minister Netanyahu's coalition have introduced a bill that would punish believers for sharing the gospel of Jesus with prison time. United Torah Judaism Knesset members Moshe Gafni and Yaakov Asher introduced legislation last week making it illegal to share in conversation or produce content online, in print, or by mail. Their explanation of the bill emphasizes a warning to stop Christians in particular. The punishment, 1 year in prison or 2 years for sharing with someone under the age of 18.
Here's your greatest ally right there. Prison time if you talk about the deity of Jesus Christ. I'm going to leave it at that, and I'm going to move on from it because I got a lot of other stuff to cover today. But I thought I would just put that information out there for everybody. You guys can gnaw on that one for a bit. So, anyways, since we opened up that can this morning, and again, be very cautious what media platforms you're listening to. When they start telling you these definitive numbers and these definitive facts, this is what's happening here, this is what's happening here, you got to question all of it right now because there's a lot of very, very strange things and an enormous amount of lies and manipulation happening right now across the entire country in that area. And so be aware of it. The GHI cleanse, you guys have grabbed a bunch of it. Hope you guys are enjoying it. Product of the week, you voted in it. One on here, that's the ultimate multiple capsules. That's
great.
I didn't know what else to expect on that one. Cortisol Buster, Ashwagandha, Adrenal Support, they're all great. Ultimate Multiple Capsules with one by Landslide.
Have we ever done Ultimate Multiple Capsules and have them compete against Ultimate Multiple Powder?
I did all three of them one time.
Who won? The powder?
The powder. I did the chewable, the capsules, and the powder. And I did. It was all an ultimate. It was an ultimate five. So it's ultimate multiple, ultimate powder, ultimate chewable, and then two other. I think D3, the powder still won on there. But so again, this is why on this show we try to make sure everything we bring to you is as accurate as possible. Dan and I do an enormous amount of research every single day because everything that you're being told now is constantly designed to manipulate you in a certain direction on mainstream media. Period. There's no question about it. They don't want you getting healthy. They don't want you having better mental acuity. They don't want you having the stamina to stand up and say, I don't agree with this. They want everybody to fall in line and do exactly what they're told. So question everything when everybody's telling you. You know, this is the biggest example was Fauci. Everybody remembers this. We came in and said, there is no other option. I am science. You have to do exactly what I say and everything I say about COVID. Well, that's if you don't know what's going on with this virus. It's a novel virus you have no idea about. How in the world can you already be that definitive on it? So, again, be very cautious on what you're believing on here. Also, too, in other news, this is another story that came out here. I had it pulled up. It was on health. And where was it at here? It was another health story I had. Down here in Florida. Florida lawmakers are urging to protect religious exemptions in the state of Florida as far as for vaccines. Something's going on now where you have some of these Democrats apparently in Congress. They're essentially trying to take steps to remove religious freedoms from vaccines. You know, I don't know who some of these complete and total loser low-life Democrats are that come into this state and they think they need to make our state like the loser low-life other states that they've ruined across the rest of the country.
Grady Jugg have said that, but not in those words.
Yeah, and he's made this point as well. You know, if you want to go do stupid stuff, go to those states that have stupid lawmakers that make stupid rules that make no sense and violate the Constitution. Go hang out there. Stop coming to Florida and try to make Florida your failed state that you left. I know none of our listeners are like that, but I mean that sincerely to all these other clowns. So apparently they're having to now put in another bill to make sure that our – now I think this is why they're doing this. They're afraid what's going to happen with the governor change.
It's deeper than that. And, yes, they are afraid.
Because that's an issue.
But the like Fishback right now, he's got a huge following in Florida, and he's anti-Israel.
And he's independent.
And now they're basically APAC's coming in and saying they're going to support the candidate against him again.
Yeah, anybody.
Tens of millions of dollars.
Even a liberal Democrat.
But remember, the people that run the country, the real people behind the scenes, the ones that George Carlin talked about, that you're not one of them. You don't have a ticket to the underground bunker. The real people that run the country want us stupid.
That's
they
fact.
Want our kids dumber than crap. They want our kids autistic. They have that folate product they were trying to get through as far as for autism this week, and the FDA said no, we're not going to do it. It's available. You can't, but now they can't give it to kids. And some of the kids had really good results with it. The problem is, they want you on fluoride. They want you on GMOs. They want you poisoned and sick and stupid. They want you servile and infertile. And if you understand that, and you understand the communist agenda, they can't stand against a group of people that are armed, that are smart, that are healthy, that are like, hey,
that's a fact.
My testosterone's at 800, and my testosterone's at 1200. I don't think I'm going to let you do that today.
My kids are sharp and awake and don't live on an iPad.
Okay.
And the folate, he was bringing up the folate. This is one of the best products, if not the best folate product in the entire world, in my opinion. This is MTHF folate, what he was referring to on here. It's methyl tetrahydrofolate.
Well, no, they actually have a prescription folate, so they cannot give the kids with autism.
Correct. For autism. But I've had people, and I'm not making any claims at all, but if I had a problem where I was dealing with that with a kid, this is a product that I would absolutely have.
It's water soluble. It can't hurt
anything.
It's
a B vitamin.
Yeah.
Yet this with
but we're
the
not making any claims.
Not making any claims at all. But I want to bring that up on here.
Listen to what Paul Craig Roberts says. What has happened to America is that it is under attack by both its political parties. The Republicans tell America about Israel's enemies. The Democrats tell America lies about Americans. The Democrats tell us that we are racist, homophobic, misogynistic, gun-toting, neo-Nazis, grandma killers, and anti-Semitic. Trump tells us that we are good, but leaves the evil deeds and serve Israel. The Democrats want to replace us with immigrant invaders. I mean, everybody's pushing Israel. Remember this. The Republicans are pushing Israel. The Democrats are pushing Israel. Everybody's pushing Israel. That's the stranglehold they have on the United States Congress. In a world in which we live, powerful weapons exist, weapons that could destroy life on planet Earth. Russian hypersonic missiles cannot be intercepted. Their destructive payload is enormous and delivered in multiple warheads. A year or so ago, Russian officials said that only one Russian missile with multiple warheads could wipe out Great Britain, which I don't believe that. Another official said it only takes three to save the U.S. I don't believe that, except for the Compton effect. The American missiles are less efficient, but nonetheless dangerous if they get through. And now they're telling us they're using space-based laser weapon systems from the Space Force to take down Iranian missiles before they enter airspace.
They might be using those.
I believe
that's tech that we just try not to disclose, but that's very real.
Well,
tech.
Trump started the Space Force back in 2019.
Yeah.
I mean, who in the world thought we had enough things in outer space to have a military presence in space? Oh yeah, we do, and we have had for a long time with Star Wars under Reagan. I thought I'd mention that. And we have these doggone missile systems and laser systems locked onto other targets besides things on from an earthly realm, too. I thought I'd mention that, too. In fact, if you read The Day After Roswell, you'll learn about that. So it's a crazy world we live in.
It is. Now, switching gears as far as the crazy world that we live in now, it's becoming normalized how insulin resistance is just another disease that you need to start treating with more drugs. Instead of actually changing your diet and looking at what's going on, they're basically just coming out with more and more pharmaceuticals now to basically try to treat the symptoms, not the problem. This article came out here and it says, insulin resistance can quietly build up for years. Here's what to watch for. As inside your body, a slow-moving process may already be underway. Insulin resistance can precede clinical diabetes diagnosis by over a decade. This is what happens when you're producing more and more insulin to keep blood sugar stable. Standard glucose tests can look completely normal while the problem builds. Insulin is often a meaningful early marker of metabolic health than blood glucose alone. Early warning signs, skin changes, basically a lot of different issues, fatigue, low energy from reduced glucose entering the cells, and brain fog. If you're carrying extra weight around your midsection or your blood sugar is crashing after meals, these are signs to pay attention for, as belly fat is often linked to fat around the organs, which can make cells less responsive to insulin. People with a history of type 2 diabetes also need to be especially mindful of this. And it talks about here testing insulin, getting blood work done, getting glucose levels done, and actually looking at what's going on in your body on a regular basis. I have told people this for years. If you're having any issues, and even if you just want to monitor stuff, you need to get blood work at least occasionally. I ask people so many times, so same thing he said, what's your D3 levels? They're having health problems. Well, I went to the doctor.
90% of the time, I have no idea.
No idea. I remember I talked to the midwife. The last kid I had was Stetson. I asked her, because they're like, the midwives are like adamant. I didn't realize it till I started dealing with midwives. They test D3 like every 2 to 3 months while they're pregnant. Every 2 to 3 months. And I said, why is that? She said, you would not believe. Well, I said, about 80 to 90% of the moms that come in here that are pregnant, they're substantially sufficient in D3. Like, sometimes at the single-digit level of D3. And I said, are you serious? Said, yeah. Oh, well, ask what their D3 is. I said, I don't know. I've never tested it. Somebody's wondering in the 30s. They don't even know what D3 is on it. They're like, what is that? What is D3? That's something, you know, when the sun makes. Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that. So it's really important to get blood work done. Look at this. And then again, if you're having issues like these side effects, we're having a lot of brain fog, you're having low energy after you eat. And I don't mean like after Thanksgiving, you go eat a half a turkey and go pass out on the couch and watch a movie.
From tryptophan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm talking like you should eat a regular meal. And every time you eat even a small, clean meal, you feel like you need to go take a nap and pass out. That's a sign that you're starting to have issues with insulin resistance. And you need to be very cautious of that. One of the biggest things you can do is stop all high glycemic carbohydrates when you're eating meals. First thing in the morning, either have, I just made it earlier because I was running out earlier. I ran out of eggs this morning. I only had 2 eggs left, so I made 2 eggs. But the Fit Food Protein is a great morning one. You can also do the GHI. The Fit Food is great also pre-workout. It's a great meal in the morning to get your blood sugar stabilized, or you can have it with eggs, both with eggs or without. Another thing, too, is in the afternoon, making sure you eat low glycemic meals throughout the day. The worst thing, in my opinion, you can do first thing in the morning, first for breakfast, is eat high glycemic carbs, like potatoes, orange juice, pancakes, syrup. That starts the entire cascading event off of the rest of the day with your blood sugar. What do I mean by that? I mean, what happens is you're constantly chasing an up and down seesaw on your blood sugar pretty much the rest of the day when you start off, because your blood sugar goes to the roof in the morning upon waking, which is not supposed to do from a high glycemic carbohydrate meal. And so what happens is that it crashes right after that, and then you're trying to bring it back up. And so you start doing a seesaw effect all day long. Well, you can get away with that for a day or two and try to get it back under control. You keep doing that for years on end, that's when you start having issues like it's talking about here with insulin resistance, and it quietly gets worse.
You know, it's interesting. Over Christmas, I gained some weight.
Well, everybody does.
No, I'm doing a little true confession here. And then I went to Europe for 3 weeks, and I gained more weight. And I thought, all right, this thing.
You still look good, though.
That's because I've lost 6 pounds. Oh. I've lost 6 pounds in 1 week. And you think, well, how did you do that? I made sure I wasn't eating too many calories. I went back on chicken and vegetables. I've already bought 4 chickens this week from Publix, or, you know, or the rotisserie. Well, no, I'm just telling you, I'm a little true confession. I've got no halo to adjust. And I got to the point where I could feel the belly fat here on the inside, you know, on the inside of my body.
Visceral fat on the inside. Visceral's on the outside, well, under the skin, right?
Right, the internal fat.
Yeah, internal fat.
And so I said, you know, this is ridiculous. I am not doing this. I am not going here. I'm, you know, doing a podcast about this. This is ridiculous. And I cleaned it up. And, you know, I'm down 6 pounds now. Tomorrow I'll probably be down 7 pounds. So, well, you're losing too much weight. Well, here's what I've learned about weight loss. If you get that insulin under control, now listen to me. If you get the insulin under control, you eat a lot of clean food and you drink a lot of water. I mean, I'm eating a chicken a day, right? Sometimes two. This is ridiculous. And I'm loading it up with vegetables and I'm dropping weight like crazy because I'm not elevating my insulin. Insulin is a storage hormone. It stores extra calories as fat. And when you get that insulin under control, that's why they're coming out with so many compounds now, Austin, because they saw that these weight loss drugs and these injections and controlling insulin are the weight loss it causes. But it's amazing to me, because remember, if the weight's been on you for a long time, it's a lot harder to get off. Now, a lot of you are saying, well, it's been a couple of weeks and you've lost 6 pounds. That's too fast. Whatever. You do your own weight loss. Do your own thing. I know 2 to 3 pounds a week is okay to me. It's a couple of weeks now. I've dropped 6 pounds. I'm good. So that's how I'm looking at this thing, and I've got to drop about 8 more pounds. Get me back down to my fighting weight, Austin. And so,
hey, you're me.
That's me. Oh, that is just not.
Have my phone on silent. I can't say anything. I ran the other day.
But Austin's right. It is the insulin that's causing the problems. And chicken and vegetables, fish and vegetables, beef and vegetables, all that stuff stabilizes the insulin. I remember when I was a bodybuilder in college. I mean, I was in great shape. And I remember people always say to me, how much do you work out? And I was working at that Art Jones Boyer Co. program, and I was only working out about 20 minutes every day, 6 days a week. That was it, 20 minutes, sometimes 12 minutes a day. It was intense workouts, though. Sometimes you'd get kind of nauseous. But I tell you what, I would say to them, 80% of you will look what you look like is what?
In the kitchen.
In the kitchen.
Yep.
That is.
Yeah.
But you can't flex fat.
No, you can't flex fat.
You know, I mean, you got a 40-inch waistline. You got a 40-inch waistline.
Man, I learned the same thing from Dorian Yates, is it's not about the duration of the training. It's about the intensity of the training. You can go in the gym, and I've known guys, and I've been there
all day.
Before. You're in the gym 3-4 hours. And let's be real. Half of it's fodder.
And talking.
Half of it's talking, hanging out, flexing, whatever. Okay, you're in the gym 3-4 hours. But what happens is you're not getting efficiently time training in. The intensity is what really helps go with it. That's why I try to keep my workouts about under an hour a day, max. 40 minutes, 50 minutes is about it. Now, if there's something going on, I'm getting prepped for a training weekend, and we're going to be out all weekend, and kid, I'll start training different ways. Like I'll train in the morning, then I'll train later on at night. But at the end of the day, it's about the intensity, not trying to be in the gym 3-4 hours at night. Because I used to do this sometimes. After work, I'd go to the gym. We used to go over to Gold's, like 5:30, 6 o'clock. I'd go home at like 10 o'clock. After a while, you're like, what am I doing with my life? Mm-hmm. It's 3-4 hours a day in the gym every night.
Burn out.
You burn out. And then you look at the efficiency of it. You're like, I could probably get almost all this done about 25% of the time.
No, it does. My chest workout when I was at peak of conditioning was 12 minutes twice a week, period. Done. Inclines, flies, and dips. That's it. And crunches. That was all it was. It was so fast, Austin. And it's just crazy how sore you get when you do that. And that's what Art Jones did. You know, he started pushing all that Nautilus equipment, which wasn't really that good of equipment back then, but it was what he pushed. It was the intensity of the training that he pushed, and it completely changed bodybuilding. Awesome. People now, you know, and say Mike Mentzer did the same thing. Boyer Coe did the same thing. And they learned over the years. Dorian Yates did the same thing. Yep. You do the intensity of the workout. You don't take breaks. If you do a circuit series, do 3 or 4 exercises in a row if you get the equipment freed in the gym. That's the hardest part. Now, people are always jumping in front of you. Superset. That's how you do it. That gets it done really, really fast with no rest between sets. And that way you basically work the fast and the slow twitch muscles at the same time, and you burn off all the glycogen.
It's funny. I went over to the I forgot where the gym is now. It's the old Golds. I went over there about a month ago with a buddy of mine who's in town. Big gym expanded. And they have all these signs and decals on every single machine, every single mirror. No selfies, no cameras. No videography.
Really?
They've shut down on it. And I asked one of the managers there, because I noticed, I was like, I don't see anybody there with their selfie sticks and their tripods. And he goes, no, we put a squash on now. We're done. He goes, we do not allow it all anymore. He goes, you want to take videos? You can go to the changing room, go take posing videos. He goes, it got so bad in here. We're 5-6 o'clock at night. He goes, we had people literally tripping over camera tripods trying to do dumbbells because you had everybody with their phones out trying to record themselves training to be a fitness influencer.
Social media.
Let me tell you something. You grew up way before I did with that. I grew up in the iron gyms where we had a brick phone. It was a potato. There was no cameras on.
Stayed in the gym bag.
No, you likely stayed in the gym bag. And what's happened is now gym and exercise and training has become this social media influencer fad. Here's the fad. Go in the gym, train as hard as you can, go to failure for 30 to 45 minutes, eat clean, K off the high glycemic carbs, and you'll look great.
Pretty much.
There's the cliff notes to all of it. There, I saved you about $1,000 a month on a fitness influencer lying to you about what they're doing every single week. Done.
Well, no, everybody wants to have their moment of fame. Everybody wants to be a fitness influencer. Everybody wants to be. My favorite one is when they say, I'm a life coach.
Oh, yeah.
No. One time I was talking to this woman, and she was a life coach. And I said, what do you charge? She says, $3,000 for my sessions.
Yeah.
Up and paid in advance. And this lady was basically living with her parents. She was completely broke. She had no money at all. She was living with her parents. But she was mad because somebody had basically backcharged her on a credit card.
Yeah.
You know, and she had to refund the money. And the crazy part was, I finally asked her, I said, why do you think that you have the ability to give financial advice? You're completely broke. Now think about that, Austin. And she looked at me kind of funny. She said, well, I haven't really thought about that. And I said, well,
that's obvious.
Shouldn't you become successful first before you start giving out financial advice on how you did it? Because you haven't done it. You know? And I see that over and over and over again with social media, because everybody wants to be quote unquote famous.
Well, and then it's like the same thing we talk about on this show. I can't get on this show and give you supplemental nutrition advice if I'm 500 pounds, out of breath, and I'm selling you Walmart vitamins. You bought my Great Value brand. I feel horrible. I'm going to take a nap so my insulin's elevated again. Go buy my $2 Chinese vitamins. You're going to look at me and be like,
there's nothing wrong with you.
There's no credibility here. I'm not listening to anything they have to say. That's why I said the other day on the show, be very cautious with a lot of these fly-by-night supplement companies that are popping up all across the internet right now. I looked the other day, and somebody popped up, I told you, like a peptide site, and I pulled it up on basically a background of the domain. Been in business for 8 months. 8 months. Right. No background where these things are coming from.
I remember back in the 90s when I was on the seminar circuit all the time, and I was always flying out and doing seminars. I kept my weight really clean.
You got to.
You have to, because you're walking out on a platform in front of 20, 30, 40,000 people. You better look the part.
Talking about top 10 foods never to eat.
Yeah, you better look like you know what you're talking about. You better not be walking out there waddling out there at 500 pounds.
With a walker.
With a walker or a wheelchair.
Air tank.
That's
horrible.
That's terrible.
Oh, gosh. Anyways.
By the way, Trump is now being accused of disgusting betrayal as new immigration advice to the GOP leaks ahead of the midterms. Basically, hardline conservatives are turning on Trump after he emerged that the president's top advisor appeared to abandon deportations. Trump's chief of staff, speaking at Republicans' annual retreat in Doral, Florida, urged lawmakers instead focus their message on deporting violent criminals. In other words, the 20 million people that came in that Trump was going to deport, and I told you this, also told you this, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, it ain't going to happen. We do not have the logistics in place to do that. And when you do it, when people like Kristi Noem and things like that start happening, people start dying.
Well, yeah, and here's the problem. I just had a phone call yesterday. I'm a real good guy that I know has a custom shop over in Lakeland. He called me up and asked me a question. He said, hey, one of my guys that's been working for me, it's basically getting deported now. And I said, well, is he legal? He said, yeah. He actually had like a work permit, green card.
Legal?
Legal. Well, not legal, but it was a work permit he basically had over here. He was working in a shop building custom trucks. And he goes, they sent him a letter. And basically something got messed up with his paperwork, and he had to self-deport now. So he had two options. They were going to give him $1,000 and a plane ticket to self-deport back to Mexico and then finish the paperwork, and he could come back in a year. If he didn't self-deport, he was going to basically get extracted by an ICE team, still get deported, and was going to be banned from coming back to the United States for 5 years.
And How awful.
When I asked my buddy who runs the shop, I said, is he a felon? He goes, no, he's a felon. He goes, half his family's here. I said, has he gotten arrested for anything recently? He said, no. I did a background check on him. I didn't arrest anything. It's just paperwork screwed up. He has to self-deport now and then could come back after a year. And I said, do you understand how like contradictory this is? I'm like, and I had another friend. He used to do, there was a guy that I knew built half my house. His name was George. He got picked up when he came back in off a fishing boat. They said, we're deporting you now. Basically, paperwork's messed up. You're coming back into the country. Now he's back in Honduras for 5 years, can't come back. So it's like everybody that actually was contributing something positive to society is getting kicked out. While, you know, I haven't seen a whole lot of MS-13 gang members getting kicked out.
I haven't seen anybody at all across the street from us, but it's all Hispanic, the entire neighborhood. I haven't seen one cop car over there. The cops won't even go over there, by the way. They're scared.
Well, no, and there's certain areas now, the country, that I mean are taken over by gang aspects, and this is this big fodder that they put together. Oh, we're going to extract all these guys. And it's funny, then it's like ICE was going to do all these extractions, right? They're going to do all these raids. Well, then I saw a video of something that was jumping on people walking out of Lowe's with paint cans going to job sites. We got us another one. He's a roofer.
I had my hot tub remarsited, right?
Yeah.
And the guy said, I lost my best stucco guy.
Yeah.
Best everything. I said, well, how long was he here? He was 30 years. 30 years. He was, he paid taxes. He was on payroll. He was married. He had four kids.
That's why I just said. I said this, the guy that is basically the truck shop. I said, was he on payroll? He's on payroll.
No.
Take Social Security, Medicaid, everything's taken out of checking. Legal. Getting checks on a work permit. He has now to self-deport. And I'm like, same thing with my buddy who runs Stucco Shop. He's had like five guys get extracted now and deported. And he's like, now they got to wait over there for like a year to their paperwork to get through. And I get it. There has to be rules and laws in immigration. I've been 100% adamant about that. And I've never fought it on that. But there's also a line when we're sitting there going, we're giving, what, another $20 billion to increase DHS's budget to give to ICE? And we're spending all this money while Kristi Noem spends $200 million on ads?
No, she's riding with the buffalo, having makeup put her on her, all in the ad, you know, and she's a pretty woman. I'll give her that.
But $200 million for her ads?
But under Noem's leadership, Public sentiment has shifted sharply, and the issue has increasingly become a political liability for the president in midterm elections, as she spent $200 million promoting herself, ruled over the DHS alongside her close advisor and rumored lover, Corey Lewandowski. Sources tell Daily Mail that frustration has been mounting inside the White House over the infighting that Noam Lewandowski had fueled within the DHS, including persistent leaks and internal disputes targeting senior immigration officials and their never-ending staying in the back of the bedroom of the airplane in which they were flying. I'm adding that. That would make a lot of people really mad, especially when they're both married.
And that was sloppy, dude. That was sloppy.
And her cuckold husband has decided to stay with her.
Are you serious? After this national publicity?
Yeah.
Well, I guess if he's probably getting a chunk of that, you know, kickback money.
Well, you got to remember. Sometimes, I'm not saying this is him. I would never imply this is him. A lot of times, it's nice when you have a spouse that's wealthy and you don't have to work.
Well,
I'm not saying that's him. I'm just saying, you know, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, the thing is, if you divorce her, he'd probably get alimony. He'd probably get paid reverse uno on that one.
You know, it's like Will Smith. He's cuckolded by his wife. I mean, there's a certain point in time, man, let me say something to you. It's just time to say goodbye.
It's time to say goodbye.
You know, sometimes it's like it's time, you know, you got to say, husbands, you can say it to, wives, you can say it to your husband, don't let the door hit you in your butt as you're walking out. You need to go. I've had enough of this. And my gosh, are you kidding me? In the back of the airplane, you know, and he's in there with him and all the rest of the crazy crap that's going on. I mean, what? Not in the back of the bedroom with him, but in the airplane with him and all this other stuff.
I don't know. Maybe he was.
That was rumored. I wasn't there with them.
They put a chair in the corner for him?
No, that's awful. But the point is, it's just how in the world do you get into a situation where you feel as though if your wife is openly having an affair, your husband's openly having an affair like this on a national level like this? And it's causing all these problems in DHS. And I have to admit, when she did that, when she wouldn't admit, I can't believe you'd accuse me of something so awful. This is a terrible question. Never answered it. And when I covered that last week, I told you, I said, yeah, she's gone.
She's gone. Nah, because at that point, it looks so bad. It was funny. We were just talking about this. Epic Times came out with this, how AI is skewing perception of the Iran conflict.
There you go.
It said, basically, as the war with Iran intensifies, content made through artificial intelligence is emerging online, fueling narratives that are misleading or all-out fabrication. And it goes to detail here how deceit in wartime is becoming one of the most effective strategies.
It always has been.
It's not always clear where the false claims originate. They can come from groups tied to the government or seemingly random users who nonetheless feel false narratives. And the volume of AI content is starting to just pollute the information environment. These kinds of crises is a very terrifying degree. And I have to agree with that on here. And this is just the beginning phase, guys. We're in the infancy of AI. I mean, some of the stuff I've seen AI videos and some of the development on it.
Can't tell.
It's already getting good. And we don't even have the 500 AI data centers completed yet across the United States because we can't fuel them and keep them cooled down. What happens when these things go hot? What happens when they're all connected across the entire United States and these guys, AI data centers link up and they talk to one another? They start producing data back and forth. You're going to have AI generated that literally will be better than special effects on professional movie screens. That's where it's going to go as far as what I've been told. You will not be able to tell without running it through a system, management system, to actually determine whether or not it's AI. Nobody with a naked eye is going to be able to determine it.
And look at the college professor you talked about the other day. If we don't let the children use AI to correct their papers, they can't even write the papers anymore. Pretty soon, we won't even know what reality is without AI. And pretty soon, we'll be wearing goggles and we'll be thinking everything's reality.
He said at the college department, now AI is basically the next calculator. Basically, you can't keep them from using calculators anymore. You know, back in the day, it was like, you know, you did math.
I remember when I took trigonometry, the calculators. They had a little Texas Instrument calculator. I think it was hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
And it only did a few things, and it was so hard to use because no one ever used those things before.
It's got random stuff on it. You don't even know how to use. Yeah.
And I remember they finally said, okay, you could use these on your exams.
Yeah.
But then you had to have the money to buy one of these expensive little things. I bought it. I did. I couldn't figure out how to use it. This thing's awful. It's got 45,000 buttons on it. You know, and you push another button, another whole set of buttons
comes up. All of a sudden, all this stuff pops up. You have no idea what you just came to a conclusion on.
I mean, slide rule was easier than that thing. This is ridiculous.
Texas Instruments. I forgot all about those. Oh. They were expensive.
Hundreds of dollars.
I remember that time I went to college. Now it's like, now calculators and all that and phones, it's like they don't even try to stop them anymore. They used to have to put your phone at the front of the desk.
By the way, homeowner, this is a good story. Homeowner awakes to noises and shoots the alleged intruder. This is in Pennsylvania. Homeowner woke to noises Monday morning and confronted and then shot and then killed the alleged intruder. A release from the Pennsylvania State Police indicated the homeowner awoke to sounds of loud banging as someone was breaking into their home and the alleged intruder attempted to break a window. He eventually broke the glass, at which point the homeowner announced he was armed, but the intruder came in anyhow. Then the homeowner shot the intruder in the head. Good shot, by the way, killing him. The WJIC noted the intruder's body was found by responding troopers near the back door. Police detained the homeowner until preliminary investigation indicated he was acting in self-defense. Always remember this, guys. If you have something happens to you in a house and a gun is used and discharged and somebody dies, there's going to be an investigation because now it's considered a homicide until they rule it not. Always remember that because you've got to be really, really careful of what you have to do. And I remember I had a friend of mine tell me this, and I'm not giving you advice legally. I'm just telling you what he told me. He had a he did a security system for me in the house, and I was going to have cameras in the house. And he told me, no cameras in the house. And I said, well, why not? And he goes, it's your story, not the dead person's story. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, if somebody breaks into your house and it's all on camera, you don't know what they're going to construe or misconstrue from video footage.
Well, and basically the prosecuting attorney could come in and take a 2 or 3 second snippet.
Yeah. And he said, if there's a homicide, and I know this for a fact, I've seen it. If there's a homicide, they're going to get all your security footage and they're going to download it and they're going to review it. They're going to do that.
Yep.
And if you have videos of in the house, somebody breaks in the house, you yell, stop, 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 I'm going to shoot you. And all of a sudden, they don't think that you yelled, stop, stop, stop loud enough. All of a sudden, now you've got a problem because you shot somebody without proper warning.
Especially if you're in some of these liberal states with these state attorneys that absolutely hate self-defense and hate. There are some attorneys that absolutely hate the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. They hate the fact that citizens have the ability to defend themselves. And if they have any ability to find 2 or 3 seconds in a snippet of a video clip inside your house, well, you hesitated before you shot. So you weren't really in fear of your life, were you? When I was in fear of my life. Well, you waited. If you were in fear of your life, you wouldn't have waited.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, now you're getting charged. And you're like, well, I didn't do anything. I defended myself.
Remember a few years ago, some guy parked in a handicapped spot over in Tampa. Remember this? And some guy came out and started yelling at him and screaming at him and pushed him and knocked him down, all on videotape.
Oh, yes. I remember this now. Yes.
And then the guy on the ground discharged the weapon and killed the guy.
Yeah.
Now, the guy who parked in the handicapped spot shouldn't have done that. The guy pushed him, shouldn't have done that. The guy shot him and killed him. Oh, well, they charged him for this.
Yeah.
Because they said, basically, the guy was backing up when he shot him.
Right.
When you have video footage like that, you don't know what the state attorney is going to do or what the prosecutors are going to do. That's why my friend, in my opinion, this is what he told me, he said, don't put video cameras in your house. That way, you're the only person telling the story if something happens.
Here's the thing, and this is what same thing your buddy told me, and I have another one told me. When you're in a city, I've been in enough conflicts and enough fights, enough street fights when I was younger. Stuff happens insanely fast in your life. Mm-hmm. When you get in a conflict, stuff happens quick. I mean, before you know it, you're already on the ground. You're mounting somebody. You're defending yourself, whatever it may be. It's super easy from an outside individual to take a video, freeze frame it, slow it down to a tenth of a second on speed and go click, click, click. Oh, right here, you see this guy. His foot was stepping back slightly when you shot him. Well, that wasn't what happened. I was defending myself. No. He was now getting away from you.
He was trying to retreat.
He was fleeing you. What? You see right here. See this half a second snippet? His foot moves backwards. He was trying to get away from you now when you shot him. It's real easy to do that on a video and go in and nitpick anything from an outside standpoint. It's a whole lot different when you're in the situation. So, yeah, be cautious of that. And be cautious of what you say after a situation like that if it occurs. It's best to keep your mouth shut.
Wait till your attorney gets there. And just you know, like we've said this to you so many times, you have the right to remain silent.
That's exactly right.
Just shut up. Don't say anything. You're like, yeah, I can't believe you tell me to shut up. I'm not telling you to shut up. Just shut up in general. don't be running your mouth.
Well, you did tell him to shut up.
Well, yeah, but don't say anything.
He's not saying it.
No, I'm not saying it in a mean way. It's just, you know, you don't need to try to explain it. Just be quiet.
Well, that's the same thing Harrison said.
Yeah.
You know, he's a state attorney up in basically Tallahassee. He said 90% of the cases are because the people run their mouths on body cam.
Yeah.
When they get convicted.
Yeah.
The cops ask me, well, I know I did it. I did it right here. But and then the cops.
Here's why I did it.
Yeah. And then the cops going, oh, okay. You know, we're not, you know, we're just trying to figure out what's going on here. Could you just explain to us what's going on? Oh yeah. This is what I did. This is why I did it. This is how I did it. Okay, we just want to understand what's happening now. Can you tell us any more? Oh yeah, let me tell you more. Let me tell you everything that happened today. And then they're looking at it. He's like, "Well, this is a hard case."
Yeah, yes.
got the person defending it. Yeah. Anyways, speaking of cognitive functioning, this is the article 5-HTP and cognitive aging. What a Whoa. Clinical trial reveals and how HealthMaster's 5-HTP fits the evidence.
Oh, this is one of our articles?
Yeah, speaking of Harrison. Says a trial followed 30 cognitively healthy Singaporean adults with an average age of about 66 years old. The participants randomly signed to either take 100 milligrams of 5-HTP or a control group, which is basically nothing. And importantly, the dose used in the study matched the amount provided, basically, that we have in 5-HTP with ours, making the findings directly relevant to real-world use. Design allowed researchers not only to observe changes in thinking and mood, but also connect those changes to measurable shifts in serotonin biology. Over the course of the study, participants who took the 100 milligrams of 5-HTP experienced statistically significant improvement in overall cognitive performance. Give me camera four. As reflected as an increase in the MoCA scores. While the average improvement was modest at one point, it occurred consistently in the 5-HTP group and not merely as practice effect. In age research, even small changes in magnitude are considered meaningful, especially in otherwise healthy adults. Several specific cognitive domains, including language, naming, abstract reasoning, and showtime-related improvements, these domains are closely linked to frontal brain regions, which are known to be influenced by serotonin signaling. At the biochemical level, the study found significant rise in serum serotonin 5-HTP over the 12-week period. Those findings support the proposed mechanism by action by providing a direct precursor to serotonin. 5-HTP appears to raise serotonin tone in a way that translates into functional cognitive benefits. And this is one of the reasons why I tell you guys, especially in now the day and age, with the horrible gut-brain access that most people are dealing with now because of ultra-processed foods, remember, serotonin is essentially produced in the gut with the signal into the brain. Your body has to have the right probiotics. I talked about this in detail a couple weeks ago, how probiotics, gut health, and brain functioning are all working together synergistically to work in order to make sure you have proper serotonin, proper cognitive function, proper mental acuity. So if you don't have these ingredients in your body and they're not working as good as they need to be, you're not going to have the best effects and best results out of your body. And this is why it's so important, because now with the massive amount of dopamine that's getting pulled out of everybody with movies, with social media, with shorts, with snippets, it's really important to keep your brain functioning as best as possible. And that is why we put together the 5-HTP that's controlled release that really helps out with natural serotonin production, especially if you take it in conjunction with good probiotics and a healthy diet. That gut-brain access, it ties together in a healthy manner and really works to keep your mood and your brain functioning as good as possible.
Well, what it does also, it really helps to affect mood swings.
Exactly right.
You know, I know I when I get down about stuff, and everybody does every once in a while, I'll take B-complex, the 5-HTP, which I usually take on a regular basis anyhow, and cod liver oil. I take
yep.
extra. And then I tell you what, within an hour, I just pop back up, and I'm like, well, okay, that was fast.
Yep.
Because if you put the right nutrients in your brain, it can produce the right chemicals. If you don't put the right nutrients in, like 5-HTP, you can't produce 5-hydroxyl-tryptophan. Right? And you can't produce serotonin, which is a precursor. And so all these things happen at once. And so now you're going, well, I got to get some Prozac. I got to get some Zoloft.
Right.
Yeah.
As we said, it's for individuals experiencing normal age-related changes in memory, focus, or mood, rather than diagnosing as a cognitive disease, this research suggests that 5-HTP may offer gentle supportive benefits as part of a broader lifestyle approach.
Well, Harrison does write well.
He's excellent.
You know, I taught him how to write. Now he writes better than
I do. He superseded you and me.
Yeah, I know, man. Gee.
But anyways.
He's smart, though, boy.
Oh, yeah. That's why I always recommend this is a good staple. Now, the only caveat with this, if you're taking SSRIs like Prozac or any of these other ones, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, you do not want to be taking 5-HTP in conjunction with either with both of those together. You can basically have, I think, it's something called, serotonin overload or something.
Oh, yeah.
But basically,
you don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that. So if you're on those pharmaceuticals, talk to your doctor on how you want to handle this. I'm not giving you medical advice. Handle those first. But the 5-HTP, if you're not on those drugs, great product to throw in your arsenal.
Christine Applegate, she was a big star back in the 80s on several sitcoms. And now she's admitting that she lied about her double mastectomy being a blessing amid a breast cancer battle. And she's also been diagnosed with MS now. She's 54 years old, and she dropped her bombshell memoir and basically said that she would lie about saying that it was a blessing to have a double mastectomy. Let me share something with you ladies. This is really important, and I don't know what to say besides this is just something that's awful for women. When you are told by your gynecologist or your basically your oncologist or somebody that you need to have a double mastectomy, and in some cases to prevent breast cancer just as a preventative, and it's going to be routine surgery and it'll be easy and they'll have you looking normal again within a couple surgeries, they're lying. In 99.99% of the cases, this is the lie. You're probably never going to feel right about yourself again. You're probably never going to look normal again, and you're going to have all kinds of health issues. I have a friend of mine who basically had a wife who had a small, tiny little lump in one of her breasts. And, you know, they took the lump out, and they told her they wanted to do chemotherapy, radiation, and a double mastectomy. And, you know, the crazy part about it is Dr. Mendelsohn had several research studies that he actually quoted back in his books. And he said that, you know, a lumpectomy is most of the time as effective. Now, you can do your own research with him as a double mastectomy without nearly having the surgical consequences of it. And so what I always tell folks is this, you know, always go with the least invasive approach first. That's very important. And I also tell people don't biopsy a lump. Just take it out. Never biopsy anything. It's like sticking a needle in a spray can of paint. It's going to spread stuff. In most cases, some oncologists believe that, and I believe that too. So be real careful when you're told that this is just routine surgery. There's nothing to this. Because they always say that to you. If they tell you you're going to have to go through 25 reconstructive surgeries, you'll never look the same again, you're going to have all these health problems associated with this, you're probably not going to want to do it. Sure. And they're not going to get paid. The same thing is true with heart surgery and, you know, and cardiac bypass surgery and, you know, and all kinds of other things. If they told you the truth that in some cases up to 50% of the people have strokes during the surgery, you're going to really wonder if you want to do this or not. So be really, really careful with what you do and what you choose to do from a medical standpoint. And never, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, never, 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 never do something like that based on one opinion of one doctor.
That's a fact.
Don't do that. Get four or five. If you're fixing to go under anesthesia and have them pull your heart out and work on it, you might want to get four or five opinions. Maybe there's another alternative. And what I do, I know I shouldn't say this to you, and it's kind of like a little secret that I learned a long time ago. I don't tell the other doctors that I see what the other doctors said.
I don't want unbiased neutral opinion.
I don't want their opinion skewed. I want to know what they think needs to be done rather than what the other doctor thinks to be done. Because what they do, they have a tendency to collude with each other and they want to agree with each other and all the other things. I've seen that. And so I always ask them for a neutral opinion on it. What do you think I should do? And I said, well, here's what I think you should do. A lot of times it's completely different from what the other person thought you should do. You know, a lot of doctors now are recommending intravenous chelation therapy for people that have problems associated with, you know, cardiac bypass stuff. And so they're recommending that first, you know, or at least, you know, something like a stent, which is not nearly as invasive as cardiac surgery, you know, in terms of bypass surgery. So just be really, really, really careful with what you choose to do. Because now Christine Applegate's saying, you know, she lied. I lied. It wasn't a blessing. It was awful. I'm still dealing with it. It's awful. And the problem with it is, don't let that doctor tell you that it's routine. It may be routine because he does it all the time, but it ain't going to be routine for you. I've seen that disaster happen over and over again. I had Aunt Audrey. I'll never forget this. She had to have bypass surgery. She's like 88 years old, almost 90 years old, something like that. I can't remember exact age. And she was walking and carrying on. The day before the surgery, she walked like 4 miles pushing a stroller, Austin. Talking to her sister, to her daughter. And her daughter tried to talk her out. I tried to talk her out. Well, she never came out of the anesthesia. She died. I did her funeral. I spoke at it. And I often wonder, you know, how much longer Audrey had lived without doing that. Because when you're older like that and you start doing those types of surgeries, it's extremely hard on the body, as it is with any age group, especially over the age of 70. Be really careful, guys. What do you think, Oz?
Especially with anesthesia, man. I don't care what anybody wants to say. Anesthesia, as routine as it may be, you're taking your body to the very edge of death.
Because you don't even feel them cutting you
off. That's how it works. You're shutting your body down right on that level.
You know, Brad Pitt did a movie a few years ago, Inglourious Basterds, right?
Yeah.
And I've not gone to another one of his movies since then because I thought it was such an affront to the German people. I really did. But I will say one thing that I learned about him yesterday. Weinstein, he used to date Gwyneth Paltrow back in the 90s.
Weinstein or
no,
Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt dated Gwyneth Paltrow. I didn't know this.
Yeah.
And Weinstein came on to Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
And I mean, she told Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And Brad Pitt told Weinstein, you mess with my girlfriend again, I'm going to kill you. legit. And he said that.
That's funny.
And I thought to myself, okay, Brad, I may give you a hall pass on that movie now. It's been a long years ago because I kind of like it. You say, he never messed with her again. Never messed with her again.
That guy was such a
whenever somebody messes with your girlfriend, you don't necessarily have to threaten to kill them, but you needed to be defending her. And if somebody messes with your man, you need to defend him, too. Just thought I'd mention
that. Another good story, positive story, at least down here.
Oh, wow, that was the mental candy to try to balance out that other negative thing.
this is a positive story, at least. I mean, it's got a negative connotation to it, but it's at least a positive story now. Tampa, as far as Sheriff's Department, Hillsborough out there, they've arrested 89 individuals in human trafficking operations.
And 89 in Tampa alone.
In Tampa alone, and basically recovered over 100 kids again. As far as over there, I've told you guys, Tampa's a hub.
Over a million kids disappear every year. This is one tiny little hub in Tampa.
Yep. They said the office all the way down has safely recovered a two-year-old child after received a tip the child was being exploited by a 42-year-old. So, lest I tell you guys, and they've recovered these kids, at least they've got them out of the situation, but lest I tell you, you've got to protect your children no matter what. Be cautious where you run around. Oh, yeah.
2 years old.
Yeah.
2 years
Two.
Old. And that's what Grady Two. Judd said. He goes, they're not going after 17-year-old girls that look like they're in a Playboy magazine. They're going after 2-year-old children. These are perverts.
The average age was like 12 years old as far as
they need to go through a wood chipper feet first.
There you go.
I mean, these people are sick. That's what Jesus said. Take them and throw them in the doggone ocean with a millstone tied around their neck. Leave the kids alone, you damn weirdos. Don't mess with them.
This guy, 69-year-old man arrested in operation where he alleged he was arranging them for a ride share to pick up a 12-year-old girl from their home to bring them to his residence, perform sexual acts. Lest you think this stuff doesn't happen, I'm not going to go off on this. I'm going to get real angry here in a second. Lest you think this doesn't happen, be cautious or have screen mirroring at the very least on your kids' phones if they're going to have access to stuff on there. They have that available now. Don't act sloppy. Don't pretend it's not there. They have it very, very available on children's phones. You can mirror what's on their phone. Straight up, you have it linked to your phone.
If you're using a hotel room, a chat app, or a fake profile to pursue a child, we are there. Sheriff said.
Don't do it. Don't do stupid stuff.
Oh, by the way, influencers in Dubai are warning that they will now face prison time for posting material about the conflict with Iran.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know why, don't you? They want to make sure AI posts the information,
ooh,
not actual people.
That's interesting.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
So we got all this crazy stuff happening, including all the hookers leaving Dubai, which I talked about. This is funny.
Andrew Tate will hate that one.
Oh, gosh, it's crazy. Because they all want to get out of the place, and I get out of Dodge. You know?
Well, I mean,
one more easy one. Mom stole daughter's identity. Now the daughter found out years later and destroyed her credit.
I mean, I hear that happen a lot. Mm-hmm. Parents stealing kids' credit, parents' credit.
She said that mom stole daughter's identity and sold $200,000 to feed a gambling addiction and basically destroyed her child. Unbelievable as far as her application, as far as her credit rating. Be really, really, really careful with people because a lot of people, if they've got your Social Security number, they can start taking out credit card names. And they can go unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah, but it took 10 years of refuting the debt to get the people to finally fight against it. But, you know, the sad part about it is that, you know, it almost to the point now where that young girl would have to file bankruptcy just to clear her own name. It took 10 years. It'd be easier to file bankruptcy.
I was about to say, it's sometimes better to file Chapter 7. I'm not going to recommend it, nor am I giving financial advice, but that bankruptcy is off your record at 7 years.
Mm.
I mean, she's had this on her record now fighting it for 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, I feel sorry for her.
I mean, I do, too.
She was a young girl when she stole her ID. As soon as she got that Social Security number, started taking out credit in her name.
At that point, though, she could have filed Chapter 7 on it.
Well, when she turned 18, she should have just punched. Been done with it. But she didn't know about it, so she started taking out credit in her own name and found out she had no credit. She was patched. She was maxed out.
Mom's maxed out. That's horrible. Be cautious.
Well,
yeah.
You got to remember. Remember we went to that campground up in North Carolina that one time. And they had a real nice campground with RVs and a little fishing place. You fished there and everything. And we went back up there. It was all gone.
Yeah.
And the guy's wife had been going to the casino and had gone through all of his money. Remember all that?
Lost side accounts. Basically burning through it. Teach your kids about finances, too. About being safe and being able to handle things. Teach them about finances. Teach them about money. They don't have to be obsessed with it. You don't have to treat it like it's a god because it's not. Because remember, the love of money is the root of all evil. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be training and teaching your kids how to manage finances properly. I can't tell you how many people I've come in contact with, and their kids are 17, 18, 19 years old. They have zero understanding. They don't even know what credit cards are. They don't even know what money is.
Well, they don't understand how difficult credit is to get, and they don't realize how easy it is to lose.
Exactly. And you don't realize it if you're never taught. So, again, train your kids on that. Be sure to check it out. You guys voted product of the week. It won Ultra Multiple Capsules by a landslide, 61%. You guys like that one.
When are we changing it today?
That'll be changing probably tonight. I usually change in the evening. So GHI Cleanse will be on sale last couple hours if you're watching this show live. Other than that, you guys stay healthy, stay strong, and we'll be talking to you again on this show. Tomorrow's always, my friends. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night.
Always remember, Jesus loves you. We love you. Thank you for praying for us. We continue to pray for you. And always keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. I love you guys, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Appreciate y'all.